So today is going to be the last week of the Sunday learning program before the summer. Mirat Hashem, we will pick up afterwards. There has been some interest in continuing learning throughout the summer. If there is, reach out to me. We'll have a different format. I won't prepare, but maybe we'll learn a sugya, learn a masechta of some sort throughout the summer. If those were interested, get in touch with me, or Andy Lauber was interested in organizing something, I'm more than happy to participate. But in terms of this official Sunday program, it'll be ending this week. And just a number of thank yous. I know we're missing a good chunk of the normal people here, but still, nonetheless, I should thank those who really put this thing together, organized it, initiated in absentia, all the people who helped out, Charlie Hirari, Kiba Cohn, were very major roles in getting this program started, even though it looks very small today. We did have a quite successful past 10 weeks. Okay, now today's topic, we've been discussing the past number of weeks of Chol Shabbos. It came up in the past couple of weeks about Erev, carrying the Erev, newspapers, mail, packages, and whatnot. And so I wanted to discuss a little bit about the Erev that we have in the five towns. And the major issue of the five towns Erev is that of the railroad tracks, which cuts slices right in between the Erev. And now the discussion of Erev in general is a very challenging topic. And there's a famous... In the yeshivas, they refer to the Masechtos Ani, Ayin Nun Yud, Ani, Poor. Ani stands for Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos, being the three hardest and most complex sugas that we have. And we're going to just touch upon the tip of the iceberg here. And when I was in the Kol Elyon, the post-Smicha Kol El in YU, so at the end of the year, we would nominate different Masechtos to vote for, what to learn the following year. And every of the 3 years I was there, Erevin was always one of the nominations. But Rav Rodenzweig, the Rosh Kol, said the only way we could take upon learning Erevin if we spend the two full Siddurim on it, and as opposed to the normal one Seder on it. And because of that, nobody wanted to spend two full Siddurim on the same topic, so we never won. But when we learned Nida in the Kol El, and when they learned Yevamos previous years, he never made anyone learn two Siddurim, but it was enough to learn just one. So Erevin perhaps is the hardest of the three Masechtas that we have. And in YU Smicha, we have a 6 week crash course from Rav Schechter. 6 weeks in Erevin suddenly doesn't do justice. 30 minutes this morning is not going to come anywhere close to it. But I'll just do a very simplified overview of some Erevin leading into the question of building an Erev over railroad checks. I always welcome questions, but try to keep the questions within the topic because it could expand many, many areas, which is not going to be nogea with the limited time that we have. So let's first go. I printed out some of these marmukomos, basically Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, just again getting the basics down of Hilchos Erevin. And the first thing you have to realize and have to define is what's considered different rishios. We have four rishios throughout halacha. It's rishus hayachid, it's rishus harabim, there's karmelis, and then there's makom patur. Rishus HaYachid is the area that's typically a house owned by one individual, and a person will get into more details of how to define the walls, but Rishus HaYachid, a person, of course, there's no limitations what he could carry back and forth within a house or some type of courtyard that's enclosed by mechitzas. We then have the Rishus HaRabim, which is a public domain, which we'll define more in depth in a moment, and one may not carry more than Dal Amos in Rishus HaRabim, nor can you go from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, even less than Dal Amos, or Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. These are all violations of Hotzah on a Deraisa level. So those are the two main Rishios, Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. There's this third category, and the Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, the Ramah really tells us why it's called the Karmelis. The Karmelis, he says, its perish is Rachmal v'lo lach v'lo yavesh. It's not hard, it's not soft, it's somewhere in the middle. Karmelis, like caramel. It's not liquid, it's not sugar, it's melted sugar, which is somewhere in the middle. It's like syrup, it's caramel. So it's a hybrid, somehow in the middle. It's not Rishus HaRabim because it doesn't meet all the standards, but at the same time, it's not Rishus HaYachid because it's not entirely wool. So that's a Karmelis, it's a middle area, where there's only an Isser Midirabanan to carry in a Karmelis, or to go from a Karmelis to your house, or to your house to a Karmelis. Most place that we live in is going to be a Karmelis, so going from your house outside is going to be an Isser Midirabanan only, as opposed to an Isser Deraisa, like carrying in Rishus HaRabim. And then there's a fourth Rishus, which I don't want to discuss at all now. It's called Makom Patur. Makom Patur is basically anything that does not fall into one of those three previous categories is going to be called Makom Patur. So just as an example of one Makom Patur, Rishus HaRabim, only go, how high does a Rishus HaRabim go to?
10.
Exactly, 10 tvachim. As opposed to Rishus HaYachid goes ad l'rakia, there's no N. Rishus HaRabim stops at 10 tvachim. Now 10 tvachim is not very high. It's around 40 inches or so, depending what shear you use. So it's 3.5 feet or so. Not very high at all. Above that area, it's called Makom Patur. That's an example. It's not a Rosh Hashanah because it's too high. It's certainly not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's not a Karmless. It's a Makom Patur. So anything that does not fit into any of those three previous categories is called Makom Patur. We're not going to address that at all today. So we need to define what exactly is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So Rosh Hashanah Yachid is something that is completely walled. Completely walled it, and you could accomplish the walls in one of three ways. The Shulchan Aruch tells us the three ways one can build a wall in order to create a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The first way is by having actual walls, a house, or you know, on top of a piece of land. You build four big fences that have to be 10 tefachim high. It's dal by dal amos, a certain amount of area. You've built yourself a Rosh Hashanah Yachid you can carry within that area. The second way to build a Rosh Hashanah Yachid through walls is if you dig a pit, dig a ditch. Now you're in a ditch, which is 10 tefachim deep, and you're surrounded by walls that are 10 tefachim high. Even though you're below ground, you still are surrounded by walls. That would be another way of accomplishing a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And the third way to accomplish walls, it's a little harder to understand, but if you're on a mound or a hill, and the mound is 10 tefachim high, even though where I'm standing I don't notice any walls above, but I am 10 tefachim below the ground on the sides of me, that's also considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Those walls that come up to the top of the mountain is considered a wall, and we view the walls as going up to Shemai, Ma'ale Rakia, so I am in essence surrounded by halachic walls.
Good
asik is coming down, it's just a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, once you have a wall, Mechita, it just goes Ma'ale Rakia. So those are three ways to build walls, mechitzos, to accomplish a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Then there's another thing you could use, what's called Tzuras HaPesach. Now Tzuras HaPesach is a lot of Gemara's to talk about. It's kana agabeim. It's, you have a pole here, and a pole on top. You've built yourself a Tzuras HaPesach, a doorway. Now a doorway works just like if you have a house. We don't say only when the door is closed can you carry within, but when the door is open you can't carry anymore. No. Even if the door is open, you have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So even if there's no door there, the door is, let's say, taken off, that's also, since it's a Tzuras HaPesach, it's a doorway, it's meant to have a door, that's also considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now, the Gemara takes it a step further. Let's say your entire house is built of Tzuras HaPesachs, potential places that can hold doors on them, you have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Even though there's actually no walls, you could see right through them, but since you have multiple Tzuras HaPesachs, that serves halachically as a wall and will be sufficient to create a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now, in terms of the details, I did print out the Shulchan Aruch here, how exactly to build a Tzuras HaPesach, just to read some of the halachas to get an idea here. This is found in Simen Shin Samech Beis, Sif Yud Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch says, how do you build a Tzuras HaPesach? He says, Kana mikan, one pole here, one pole there, but kana agabeim, and there's a pole going across, you build yourself a doorway. Afil einu nogebeim. Even if, let's say, the poles are not touching the above, the mashkof on top, even though it doesn't touch it, el sheish b'nem kama amos, it could be very, very high. You could have a little, what we'll call a lechi down here, and a string really high up, far away from it. It's still good enough. U'bilvad shehe gova hakanim shemikan mikan asar tvachim. As long as the pole is 10 tvachim high, this high, and the string is way up high, amos above, it's still good enough, says the Shulchan Aruch. Vim chibra kana elyon the shnei kanim olechem hem mitzad. Now there's a certain restriction here. What you cannot do is you can't build a beam here, and then a string below the top of it. You cannot go in the center of the beam. It has to be above the top of the beam. That's a restriction. It does come up sometimes. It's a lot of shilas with that. That won't be effective. Also, says the Shulchan Aruch going on, yeah.
Two like this and one not like this in the
middle. That's possible. Correct. That's possible.
Right.
Because you don't make a Tzuras HaPesach like that. Right. Tzuras HaPesach has to be the way you make a doorway. No one makes a doorway where the pole goes above the mashkof. So a lot of the details how to build Tzuras HaPesach depends on how our actual doorways are. So if you have a crooked doorway, it's slanted, no one builds a doorway like that. So be very, very careful when building strings, the string eruvs, we'll see why the strings work in a second, why not a kana, that has to be very, very straight. And how much do we allow it to tilt, if at all? And how much do we allow it to move in the wind? There's a big machlokas poskim, how much tolerance do we have? All depends on looking back, how do you define a doorway? So the Shulchan Aruch goes on to explain further that, well, what type of kana beam has to be on the top as the mashka? What has to be there? Tzarech shehu akanim shebetzadim chazakim lekabel delas kolshu. The wall, the beams on the side have to be strong enough to hold a door. But now, not any door, a small light door. Afilu shekash ol shekanim. Even if it's a light door made of straw, a very little flimsy door, that's enough. So that's why our strings are sufficient to hold the door, because the string, the fish show wire that we use, is strong enough to hold a straw door if you were to build a straw door. So that's the basis of most of our eruvs are built on lechis, lechis on each side, and then a string above, which has built a Tzuras HaPesach. Now our entire city is surrounded by the Tzuras HaPesachs, and it's good enough to create walls, and therefore Rishus Yochid, and you could carry with him. Now the question becomes also, are there any limitations on when Tzuras HaPesach can be used? So there is the Machlokes Prima Gadol and Chazon Ish, whether Tzuras HaPesach can transform a Rishus HaRabim. Now we said before, Rishus HaRabim, we didn't define it just yet, but Rishus HaRabim is also to carry Midiraisa. You cannot carry Dal Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Now can I build my Rishus HaRabim with Tzuras HaPesach to permit me to carry in what otherwise would have been Issa Deraisa? Can it now permit me to carry without that Issa Deraisa? So the Prima Gadol says no. It only works if you have a Karmus. A Karmus, the Issa is only to carry Midirbanam. You could permit carrying through building these doorways throughout the city. But if it's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, it's a place of 600,000 people, however you define Rishus HaRabim, it's Aser, you cannot build Tzuras HaPesach, cannot turn in Issa Deraisa into a Heter Midirbanam. So the Prima Gadol says you have to first define the area as a Karmelis, and then you could put a Tzuras HaPesach around it. Chazon Ish argues, says no. You could even build a Tzuras HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. And what's his Raya? He brings a proof that we have a concept of Tzuras HaPesach. Where else in Halacha do we have a concept of Tzuras HaPesach? Anybody know?
Not Mavui.
Mavui, that's the same area of Erevin. What other halach is the other concept of the Tzuras HaPesach? The two other areas.
Sukkah.
Sukkah is one area. Okay. Well, this is Shabbos and Kelaim. It's their Kelaim. You cannot graft. Grapes and wheat.
If you like Karim, where the vineyard and the things on top, you build those frames on top.
Exactly. So even in between, you have to have a separation. So imagine I have grape vines growing here, and I have wheat growing here. You have to have a separation. But the Mishnah says you could build the Tzuras HaPesach. Even though they're going to grow through the Tzuras HaPesach, right through the doorway, that's enough. So we see that you were permitted to Midiraisa, to have planting wheat right next to grapes. As long as the Tzuras HaPesach, it permits the Issa Deraisa. So too says the Chazon Ish, it permits carrying in the Issa Deraisa Rishus Rabim through a Tzuras HaPesach. Others say it's a complete distinction. Kalaim is different than Mechitzas. Kalaim, you just need a separation. You've accomplished a separation by Tzuras HaPesach. When it comes to Erevin, we have to create a Makom Dira. Who lives in a Tzuras HaPesach? Who lives like that? So there's a big distinction, some say, but the Chazon Ish says one can build a Tzuras HaPesach around an Issa Deraisa of Rishus HaRab. Okay. So we typically paskin, we typically allow a Tzuras HaPesach to be built around a Rishus HaRab Deraisa, many paskin like the Chazon Ish, but there still is another problem of building a Tzuras HaPesach in certain areas. And that, when it comes to what we'll call the highways, railroad tracks. It's based on the Mishnah Erevin. The Mishnah Erevin, Daf Chav Beis, has a machlokas tanaim about the following case. They used to go to Alila Regel, to go up to Yushlaim, and to go bring karbanos, and they'd bring their animals along the way.
Pasibiros?
Exactly, Pasibiros. The Mishnah says, what's Pasibiros? You have a little well along the way, and no one lived there. So how are you expected to bring your animal and draw the water up from the bore and put it down to their, now what's the Rishus HaRabim, more Karmelis, to feed my animal? So they built this Pasibiros, these four posts on the side of the, imagine the big well in the center. They built a tefach by tefach corner here, and the other corner tefach by tefach, and each of the four corners had these Pasibiros, is called. And that, the Mishnah explains, that's considered a walled area. So you bring your animal inside this area, at least its head inside the area. Now you're inside of Rishus HaYachid. You could draw water up from the well, and now put it down, and the animal is able to drink from it, because you're now standing in this Rishus HaYachid. Pasibiros creates a Rishus HaYachid. So the Mishnah says, what happens, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hayad derech Rishus HaRabim mafsakasan yisalkenu l'tzadim. So let's say Rishus HaRabim is there, the way they would walk would be right through this Pasibiros. They're in essence knocking through the effectiveness of the Pasibiros. If I have people coming through my house, a highway through my house, it's not a house anymore. So people coming through, Rabbi Yehuda says, make sure, put some cones there and make them walk around, because if they walk through, they're ruining Pasibiros. It's no longer Rishus HaYachid. Make sure they walk around. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Chacham Omrim, ain't no tzarech, there's no need. Even though Rishus HaRabim passed right through, it's not going to be a problem at all. And the Gemara goes back and forth. How do we paskin? So some paskin that it's not a problem. We paskin like the Chachamim, that even if Rishus HaRabim were to pass right through my Erev, there's not an issue at all, and you could carry even within the Pasibiros, even though there's a highway going right through. And others paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that even though if it does go through, it does ruin the Pasibiros. It does ruin the Mechitza. So let's say in our case, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach and there's a major highway going right through my Tzuras HaPesach, it ruins the Tzuras HaPesach if you think it's a problem. That's machlokes how we paskin. Now, if you paskin like the Chachamim, that there's no issue here, that you could have a highway run right through the Teruah of Pesach, then there would not be an issue at all here. So, even if you assume, though, that if Rosh Hashanah Rabbim passes through the Teruah of Pesach, it does not ruin the Teruah of Pesach, it's not in every instance. Meaning, Tosfos says, only in a situation where, let's say you have three real walls, and then the fourth wall, midrabanan, we require you to have a string to complete the final wall. Only if it's that final wall that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim are passing through, only that final wall will be disqualified. And since it's only Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, only it's a chiyah midrabanan, we'll allow it to go through. Because since there are three walls, we're not bothered by the Rabbim going through the Teruah of Pesach. But let's say, says Tosfos, you have a city surrounded by all string only, no walls, all strings, all Teruah of Pesach. Then he thinks Rosh Hashanah Rabbim were to pass through, it would ruin the Teruah of Pesach.
If this is the case of the Mishnah where it's all, the passing, like it's not, there's no real wall there.
Exactly, so it's similar to Teruah of Pesach.
Right.
Meaning, the halacha.
I'm saying, why it was supposed to argue, like the Mishnah seems pretty clear what the case is.
Right. There's possible, Pasibiros might be, is very good, so isn't that a weak type of mechitza you're saying? It's possible this might be a special exception they made for Alila Rego. There's certain halachas we left for Alila Rego, Pasibiros being one of them. The machlok is Rashi, I think, about this particular topic. So the halacha is, basically what we were basically breaking it down to is, a rabbim only ruins a weak set of walls, if it's all Teruah of Pesach. If it's a strong wall, where it's mainly walls, then rabbim would not ruin it. So it's a good question, how to understand Pasibiros. But for our purposes, since our, let's say, five times Erev is all string Erevs, so if Rabbim were to go right through, they would ruin that area of the Erev. Now, the Marmor Rutenberg says no. He says, even if the entire Erev is built on strings, even though the walls are weak, the question is, what's the city, what's the status of the city? If the status of the city is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Deraisa, if, let's say, it meets all the requirements which we haven't discussed yet, and then you permit it by building strings. So let's say, for example, Manhattan. Let's assume Manhattan for now is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And you were to go ahead and build a string all around Manhattan. So now you permit it to carry Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's okay. But if you have a big highway cutting through the strings, so then that's going to be a problem according to Meir Rutenberg. Since the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Manhattan is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Midiraisa. But let's say you're dealing with a city that is only an Isser Midirabanan. It's only a karmless. So let's say the five towns is only a karmless. This is not, well, there might be 600,000, but let's assume you have a certain area that's not 600,000 people. It's less, does not meet requirements. It's only, it's a karmless. And then you build strings around the karmless. So then you would not say the highway uproots it. The highway will only uproot a situation where the center, the city, is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Midiraisa, and then there are strings around it. Then the highway ruins that string. But if the city is a karmless, and then there's strings around it, we're not concerned with the highway. So in essence, we have to figure out, when dealing with these issues of highways passing through Teruah of Pesach, what's the status of the city? If the city is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Midiraisa, then the highway is going to ruin the entire mechitza, the entire string around it. If the area that we're talking about is a karmelis only, then we say the highway will not ruin the strings that go around it.
The highway has to be straight, like a mefulash.
Exactly. We're going to get that. That's part of the issue. So now we have to figure out, when dealing with these issues, so what are we talking about? We have to know, are we talking about karmelis? Because if there's a karmelis, so we're not going to be bothered by the ship, just build a string over the karmelis, even though the highway might be a karmelis, it's okay. If the highway we're talking about is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then it's going to ruin the Teruah of Pesach. So our question, is the railroad a karmelis? It's certainly not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. There's certainly not walls. Is it a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in which case it's going to pound right through our Erev and ruin our Erev? Because a Issa Deraisa is going to ruin the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is going to ruin the Teruah of Pesach if Rabbim go right through the Teruah of Pesach. If the train is only being judged as a karmelis and Issa Midrabanan, then we're not going to be bothered by the fact that a train runs right through the karmelis, runs right through the Erev that's built around the karmelis. So now we have to figure out what's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim versus what's considered a karmelis. So there are a number of factors in defining what a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is. So number one is it has to be publicly owned. One of the definitions is publicly owned. If you have an area, Rav Shecht likes to point out, the Rockefeller Center, even though it's, traversed by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, since it's owned by Rockefeller, or I guess, Foundation, so then therefore it's owned by Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it's not considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it has to be owned by the public, a street, a train, an area that's a park. It can't have a ceiling. Now, all the halachas of Rosh Hashanah are learned out from what happened in the Midbar. When the Klai Yisrael walked through the Midbar, we learn all the halachas from them. So if there's no ceiling to it either, that's a Rosh Hashanah. If there is a ceiling, it's a tunnel, let's say, then that would not be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Also has to be 16 amos wide. They learn out, the Gemara and Shabbos learns out how do you get those numbers. Has to be 16 amos wide, which is somewhere between probably 24 and 32 feet or so. It has to be mefulash, like you were saying. It has to run straight. So Rav Shach likes to point out in the Heights, I think it's Broadway. So Broadway goes down from Washington Heights, but when it gets to around like 1/10 or so, it curves off. It's not considered mefulash. It's not considered straight. This street has to go from one end of the city to the other end of the city completely straight, equal. And then it also has to be accessible 24 hours a day. If you have it, sometimes the Gemara talks about Yerushalayim that had a door that would shut down at nighttime. If it shuts down at nighttime, the streets, the highways were not accessible. That also would not be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So again, to review those five, it has to be publicly owned, cannot be covered, has to be 16 amos wide, has to be straight, has to be accessible at all times. Now there is this sixth requirement brought down by some Rishonim. So if you look, let's look in the Shulchan Aruch for this one. It's a very important Shulchan Aruch and very important Mishnah Berurah as well. If you go to, this is Simon Shin Mem Hei. It's in page Kuf Tadi Vavam Bei. Sorry about not so organized today with the Mar Makomos. But Simon Shin Mem Hei, Siv Zayin in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, Eizu Rosh Hashanah. What's considered Rosh Hashanah? So he says, Rechovos Ushvakim, a street, a marketplace, HaRechovim Sheish Yisrael. That's also a little bit shrunk there, I guess. 16 Amos wide. Veinim Mekorim, it's not covered. Ein Lam Chomer, there are no walls. Afil Yesh Lam Chomer, even if there are walls. Im Heim Mefulashim, Mishal Lashra, has to be straight across the way. And the Rama adds, Ein Dalsos Nulos Balayla, can't be closing at night. That's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But then going to the next page, Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says this in a number of places. The Yesh Omrim, Shekol She'ein Shishim Ribo, Ovrim Bo, Bechol Yom, If you have an area that less than 600,000 people cross on one given day, that is not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You also need 600,000 people passing every single day. That's the Shitas Rashi in a couple of places, other Yishonim as well. So Shulchan Aruch quotes this as another opinion, as a second as a Yesh Omer. If you hold like this, it's going to be a tremendous kula. Because we have no area, at least probably in the five towns, I don't think Peninsula Boulevard will cover it. There probably is not 600,000 people passing through Peninsula Boulevard in one given day, and I don't think the train either has that. So therefore, our entire five towns area would not be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because we don't have 600,000 people passing through every single day. Now, how to calculate this is a big machlokas. Is it on one given moment? Is it throughout one day? Is it maybe if it becomes like a parade on given days, maybe it has 600, it could fit 600,000. How to define 600,000, we're not going to get into. But if you have that requirement, it's going to serve as a tremendous kula. Because if you don't meet 600,000, it's a karmless at worst, and you could simply build a Torah of Pesach without any issues. But once you have a big highway cutting through with 600,000 people, then that will be an issue. How do we paskin? So the practice has been to allow that. That's one of the requirements of needing 600,000. That's been the kula we've been relying on. But the Mishnah Berurah writes here, and that's the basis why there are those who don't rely on Erev, not because the Erev puzzle, but just to be choshish for the Shita. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the Lashon is Chol Bal Nefesh, Yachmir La'atzmo. The person wants to be Machmir, he should be Machmir for himself and don't impose it on anyone else, not his wife, not his kids, not friends, not Tamidim, for himself only. That's the Shita of the Mishnah Berurah, and that's pretty much the custom. There are other reasons why others may not hold of an Erev in general. That's not for now, but these are one of the main reasons why not, because 600,000 is just a added kula that not everybody holds of. So Peninsula Boulevard seemingly would be, if you don't require 600,000, Peninsula is 16 amos wide, and seemingly it would be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and many cities, you know, it's considered straight. I guess Peninsula curves off at the end, so maybe it wouldn't be mefulash. It's maybe not necessarily true. But if it's a street that's wide and goes straight from one end to the next end, it would be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though less than 600,000 people pass by.
How do you define, like, the city limits? Meaning, the Peninsula goes for miles and miles and miles.
It's a very good question. At what point so the Manhattan is clear. Manhattan's Manhattan, and Broadway does curve at the end. If you take another, I'm not sure all the other streets are there. I don't think anyone runs through. St. Nicholas doesn't run through the whole way. Amsterdam doesn't run the whole way. But in terms of this area, Woodmere, Cedars, Woodmere, it starts changing cities. Is that considered one street? I think they view it as one. Since if it's continuous in terms of the drive, even though it's different cities, I think they view that as one street. And since it ends up curving off, it would be considered mufulash and not Rishus Rabbim. I believe so.
And also, it's not in the train. Meaning the space, the track area, you're not allowed to go in there. You're allowed to go on the actual train, but not in the space where it is. So if you go, let's say, the condition of 16 amos, the train is not 16 amos. The space, the track space might be, but you're not allowed to go in. Right. No one's allowed to go in there.
It's a great question. I had the same question. I didn't get to ask anybody myself. I'm not sure why it doesn't mean that. But maybe we'll go through, maybe we'll figure out a little bit better understanding of this. It might clarify that point. I'm not entirely sure, though. It's a very good question.
Right, the rabbi might say, the Havamin over there, but that question is, whether the actual space is 16 amos or the train is like the Agala in the Gemara, where it's 8 and 8. That right. Might be the question?
I mean, that might be part of it. But the area of, but there they use the space in between the Agalos. They pass things over.
Right.
Here, as he's pointing out, there's no one uses the space. You can't use the space in between the trains. So of the usable space, there are less than 16 amos there.
Right.
And also, do you count both directions? Does it have to be 16 amos in one direction? Or could you view both directions as... Seemingly, you could use both directions. But even still, I don't know if each...
In what? Some places, there's three tracks, which in theory have three trains.
Right. So that's if you go to Jamaica. But here, we only have one.
Far off.
Oh, they have three and it splits up there?
Right at the end.
Ah, okay.
So... But you can go
right.
You can allow to cut it,
cross over.
But no cross over, but no go along. Right. That's the
problem. So no, we're trying to get. Let's say I'll talk about your point. Yeah. So there's a big cool out there. So let's talk about trains for a second. So trains, are they considered Rishus Rabbim or Karmelis? That's our question. So some say Rav Asher Weiss or Menashe Klein also thought that. The definition of Rishus Rabbim is only an area that people could actually walk on. A highway, trains, we can't walk on them. It's dangerous to walk on the train. So that throws entirely out the concept, and trains and highways will never serve as a problem. That being the case, it's very hard to disqualify any Eruv. Because, like, even Manhattan, let's talk about, I don't want to get that involved in Manhattan, but let's say Manhattan, they sometimes use the walls that are built on the, if you go to the riverside, the riverbanks, they built these walls, man-made walls, and that seemingly could serve as a Rishus HaYachid walls. Right. And you can close the whole area. One of the big problems is, though you have these highways, these bridges cutting right through, and that's a problem. But some tiny that, it's not an issue because no one can walk, you can't walk on the bridge, you can't walk on the highways, and that's not Rishus HaRabim. The Midbar, people were walking all the time. So that's where Rav Menashe Klein suggested, and Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Shuvah throws that out completely. And most do not rely on this. But Rav Asher Weiss still does hold to this. He thinks that it's not a problem. Highways are not an issue anywhere where it's dangerous to walk that cannot be defined as Rishus Rabbim. But Rav Moshe Feinstein again said, no, it's not about people walking, where people go. Even if you're going in a train, going in a car, going in a bus, we do count those people, and that can be considered a Rishus Rabbim.
We also have the situation with Highway 878. Which is out there, but that turns.
Yeah, that's turns. I don't think 600,000 people pass there either. I would imagine not. I don't think it's that busy. So, okay, so that's one, perhaps, heter of Rishus. We even got to the issue of a train, though. It's not 16 amos wide. It curves. There's probably less than 600,000 people a day that go there. So what's the big problem of the train? So there is the let's go to the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes in the Magen Avraham. Let's go back to the first page. The Hilchos Shabbos Siman Shin Mem Hei. I'm sorry, no, the second page. Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin. This is page Kuf Tadi Vav Amin Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ezu Rishus Rabbim, and the first example he gives is Rechovos Ushvakim. So what's Rechovos? So the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, Siv Katan Yud Zayin says, Rechovos is Durachim She'ovrim Me'ir Le'ir. A interstate highway, intercity highway, that goes from one city to the next city. It doesn't go through like a main street, or it's not like Peninsula Boulevard where the houses along the way. It seems to be like a train that stops off at one central location in each city. It stops, but it doesn't go through multiple. It's not like a subway where it stops at every few blocks. It's a train that goes from Hewlett to Cedarhurst or Woodmere into Cedarhurst and to Lawrence and to Farakway or Inwood and Farakway. This is a train that goes from city to city. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, "Have gam kein Rishus Rabbim mishum d'shchichi berabim." Since people or many rabbim are found on there, this is a definition of Rishus Rabbim. Now, if we're going to define a train as Rishus Rabbim, since it goes from city to city to city, so then that's going to pose a problem to cut right through our Tours of Pesach. So this is the big difficulty in trains. So the question becomes, but our trains don't have 600,000 people riding them every single day, I don't think, in this area. I don't think 600,000 are passing through. So there is a shita, the Ramban in Erevin, Daf Nun Tes. There's also a Beis Yaakov. Beis Yaakov is on the Achronim. He has this chiddush. He says the only time, it's based on the following. Ramban says this, he quotes a shita and kind of rejects it. But the Beis Yaakov says the following question. Rashi, in a few places, mentions when he defines Rishus Rabin, he requires 600,000 people as one of the requirements. But if you look at Rashi all the way in the beginning of Masechet Erevin, when he introduces us to Rishus Rabin, he does not mention the requirement of 600,000 people. So it's a Rashi, it's a steer in Rashi. Says the Beis Yaakov, you know, what Rashi is referring to in the beginning, he's referring to this type of highway. When it comes to a highway, it does not need to meet the standards of 600,000. When we're talking about a city, when defining a city, one big city, then you need 600,000 to define it as a Rishus Rabim. If the city doesn't have 600,000, it's not a Rishus Rabim. But when we're dealing with a highway or a train that goes from city to city, you don't need 600,000. The very fact that it goes from city to city, that's a Rishus Rabim. That's a pace that carries people from one place to the next, even if it's less than 600,000. If that's the case, so then our train that goes from Hewlett to Woodmere to Cedars, it will be a problem of Rishus Rabim, even though it has less than 600,000 people. The question becomes, do we pass like this Beis Yaakov? So, some Achronim, the Yeshus Malko, quotes the Beis Yaakov and says, we pass like this. And if we have such a train, well, the Yeshus Malko ends up saying, he's dealing with the issue of a train. He thinks the train would be a problem from city to city because it's a Rishus Rabim. But then he ends up throwing out Rav Asher Weiss's fire, but since people can't really walk on it, it's not a problem. And the custom had been for many, many years, centuries, that a train will not be a problem with Rishus Rabim. The question is what the svar is, but he does accept the Beis Yaakov Lalacha that if it's a highway, you do not need 600,000 people to make it into Rishus Rabim.
Would you argue that in the five towns, even though they're technically five towns, there's no real difference, let's say, like Hewlett and Woodmere? There may be, you know, it's all the same town of Hempstead, and you know, like...
So that's his question. How do you define, like, the city borders? It's all, right, it's all connected. There's no, you're driving, and this is a sign, you won't know. Right, same zip code.
In many cases, not all cases. Right. I think that they are different.
So the question is, how do you define it? So it might not even be about that you're in a new city, per se, but they're not local stops. It's not Peninsula Boulevard, where you can stop anywhere along the way and just get off at the house. There's no houses along the side. It's meant to be just to go for distances, not for residential stops along the way. So even if you didn't define it that way, I think it still would be an issue. So this Yeshus Malko does call the Beis Yaakov l'halacha, which would make the train a big issue. The Avnei Nezer says we don't hold this Beis Yaakov. Who else quoted this? It was Avnei Nezer and someone else. The Yeshus Maharsham. Maharsham also says we don't hold this Beis Yaakov. He quotes Beis Yaakov and says nobody holds like this. If you want to make a highway into Rishus Rabim, it needs to meet the standards of 600,000 people. If it doesn't meet those standards, it's not Rishus Rabim. So our trains would not be an issue at all. Still, there are some posts who are concerned with this. If you look at the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yaakov and the Ramban, they say, no, it's a Rishus Rabim, even if it's less than 600,000. So let's say you want to entertain that possibility, that the very fact that it goes from city to city, it's considered Rishus Rabim, even though there's less than 600,000. What about other requirements for Rishus Rabim? What about Mefulash? Are we saying you don't require anything at all? If it goes from city to city, it's a Rishus Rabim, even if it's curved and it spins around, even if it's less than 60 namos, that's a Rishus Rabim? Or no, it has to meet the other standards as well. So some say, no, you don't need to have Mefulash either. Once it's going from city to city, that's a Rishus Rabim, even if it curves around, even if it's less than 60 namos. But most posts, if you read through carefully, most posts, they say no. The only thing that we did away with was 600,000. Because that's a machlokes in the first place. Remember, we defined what's Rishus Rabim, can't be covered, has to be 16 amos, has to be straight. 600,000 was a machlokes we showed him in the first place. So when it comes to 600,000, we could do away with that requirement for this interstate highway. But no one ever did away with mefulash. That's a definition of Rishus Rabim. It has to be straight throughout. And we read through the poskim, it's very, very clear in many of the poskim that Mefulash was a necessary requirement for all Rishus Rabims, even if it's an interstate type of highway, even for a train. And for that reason, even if you want a pasuk like the Beis Yaakov, that you don't require 600,000, you still do require Mefulash. And since our trains, clearly, if you go on the train, you clearly see how it curves around, it will not satisfy the other requirement of being Mefulash. So at the end of the day, it seems that most poskim permit an Erev around a train. Again, just to review what the issues might be, is that it's very possible, as the Magen Avraham quotes, that a interstate highway is a Rishus Rabim, by definition. And if you assume you don't require 600,000, and if you assume you don't require Mefulash for this type of highway, it would be a problem of Rishus Rabim, and you cannot build an Erev over it. But since many poskim say we don't hold of this, that you do require 600,000, and even if you want to say you don't hold of it, most poskim, it seems that all poskim say you require it to be mefulash and straight. Since our trains don't satisfy that issue of being foolish. For those reasons, the halacha, the psak is, according to most poskim, at least that I spoke to and heard from, there are those who think it's a problem, but according to most poskim, a erev around our train in particular is not a problem at all. I'll just finish off with one last idea, since this is the last one before the summer. There is a interesting Shemesh Shmuel. We read yesterday's Parsha Baloscha about Pesach Sheni. And there's a Medrash that tells us that Pesach Sheni, well, first the Mishnah in Mishnah Rosh Hashanah refers to Pesach Sheni as Pesach Katan. Pesach Katan. And the Shemesh Shmuel wonders why Pesach Sheni took on the name Pesach Katan. Where did you get the name Katan from? So he explains that the Medrash that tells us that Pesach Sheni came about as the Zechus, because the Zechus of Yosef HaTzadik. In his Zechus, the Medrash says. And it makes sense, the Medrash goes on to explain, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us who were the Tameim, who were the ones who were Tameh, who asked Moshe Rabbeinu, we were left out, we want to make in the midst of carbon Pesach also. So the Machlokas 3 and Machlokas, the Gemara in Sukkah, one opinion is those who were carrying the Aron Shel Yosef. So they were Tameh because of carrying Yosef HaTzadik, so in the Zechus of Yosef HaTzadik, he was able to bring them back to bring the carbon Pesach. So in the Zechus of Yosef HaTzadik, we got Pesach. We also find the Medrash that tells us that Yosef was the Katan of the Shvatim. So now it makes sense. Yosef was a Katan, and Pesach Sheni is now Pesach Katan. But why would Yosef HaTzadik be called a Katan? Anything, the Pasuk tells us he was called a Rosh. The Pasuk says, right, that he quotes here, Medrash says, Vani Rosh Atem, the Shvatim, Atem Guf Ani Rosh. Dichsev Tuasa L'Rosh Yosef. The Yosef is referred to as the Rosh. He was the head. He was the leader of all the Shvatim. So why in the world was the Medrash referring to Yosef as Yosef HaKatan? So the Shemesh Shmuel quotes a well-known Gemara in Chul and Daf Samech, which tells it that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the moon, don't be so sad. I know you're a little upset because I made you smaller. Don't be so sad because even though you're Katan now, the Gedolim Tzadikim in the future will be called Katanim as well. The Gemara goes on to say, Yosef, Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan, these are all Katanim based on just your name. You're the Levon HaKatan, you're the small. So to the great Tzadikim afterwards are also going to be called Katan. So what's pshat with being, so why are these great leaders called Katanim? They're referred to as, they're Gedolim, not Katanim. So the Shemesh Shmuel explains that the definition of Katan means someone who's being mevatel their own das to Kadosh Baruch Hu's das. They mevatel themselves to the das of the Gadol, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is. And that's the Gemara in Kedushin that tells us that Katan, Eved, is like a behema, because a Katan has no das. When a person makes himself into a Katan, he's being mevatel das for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that's the same idea. Yosef HaTzadik was the smartest, he was the greatest, he was the greatest leader among all the Shvatim. But at the same time, he's mevatel himself. He mevatel himself, he was thrown into jail. And the Shemesh Shmuel says, he clearly could have sent a message to Yaakovinu, and Yaakovinu could have sent down money and all the other sons to go redeem him. But he was a katan, he said, I'm being mevat my das to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he was so great and so wise and such a leader, he's mocked in himself, he's mevat to his own das. That's the idea. He says, so too, when a person is mocked in himself, when he makes himself into a katan, mevat in his own das, he creates a greater, greater response, a greater, greater aura. So that's what he says, Pesach Sheni, that Iyar is called the month of Ziv. Ziv Ashkenaz, Ziv is referring to aura. Wouldn't Nisan be? Nisan is the month of Pesach Rishon. Wouldn't that be the greater aura? Why is Iyar, the month of Pesach Sheni, the greater light than that of Nisan? So explained because just like the moon reflects the sun of the light of the sun, so to Pesach Sheni is reflecting the light of the Rishon, light of Pesach Rishon. That Iyar is reflecting the light from Nisan. So when a person is makhtin himself, when he walks in Vata's Das to Kadosh Baruch Hu to someone greater, actually creates a greater reflection, a greater light, he says. And that's why Iyar is called Ziv, and that's why Pesach Sheni is called Pesach Katan, that's why Yosef HaTzadik is called Yosef HaKatan. So going back to the Aruch HaNer quotes in the beginning of Maseches Nidah, Aruch HaNer writes, he quotes from the Zohar, really. We said before that the Masechtos Ani, Ayin Nun Yud is Erev Nida and Yivamos, the three hardest Masechtos. So it's really found based on the Zohar. The Zohar actually writes this. The Zohar says, he quotes a pasuk in Zechariah that refers to Mashiach coming as an Ani with an Ayin, as a poor person on a chamor, on a donkey. Says the Zohar, by learning these three Masechtos of Ani, Ayin Nun Yud, Erev Nida and Yivamos, will bring about the coming of Mashiach. And what's the pshat? I think pshat is based on this. A person, you learn Erevin, you learn Nida, you learn Yivamos, it's so hard, you realize how little we know. By making yourself into a katan, that's the way about bringing the Mashiach. So through learning the Sugyas Mitzvah Hashem, and hopefully learning throughout the rest of the summer, we'll bring the coming of the Mashiach. Amen.